All righty. Time for another threesome podcast with Lex and Stacy. The threesome podcast. Her, me, and you. That's three. But that's not really how it works. How it really works is we pretty much just take... Let me turn you back up here, Stacy.
That is the cutest little sound.
I still haven't got my mixer figured out yet. Or how to get my email off of here. Other than that, it's fine.
Yes.
So, we have the threesome podcast. Today, we do things in threes. Today, our three biggest bodily function mishaps. And it's just stuff that happens to people. It happens to everybody, but sometimes the situation is worse than others.
Yes. Everyone has at least one memorable moment.
Yeah. And unfortunately, mine are usually around chicks. Yeah, which is worse than just around regular people. Well, yeah, around dudes, you just get, you know, like, oh, dude, you know, whatever the case is. But when you're around girls, it's a completely different deal.
I just don't like the idea of pooping around people in general at all. I have left work and gone home at times so that I didn't have to share what I was about to do with other people, especially coworkers.
Well, mine are a little bit different because I kind of have a situation where mine is, one of them is peeing, one of them is out the back, and one of them's throwing up. I've made sure I've spread it out all over the place for you.
So you've got the trifecta going on.
I got the trifecta.
I've got two poopings and a puking.
Yeah, so we'll get to this eventually, you know, but
yes.
There's all kinds of things happening in the world we'll talk about as well. You know, some celeb stuff and some band stuff, and there's all kinds of things going on out there in the world that, you know, Stacy and I share a passion for, and that's famous people's misery.
Yes, I love it.
We love that immensely. We are Huffington Post and TMZ junkies.
Yes.
We love...
Absolutely.
We love when Justin Bieber goes to fucking jail, or we love when people that are barely famous get in trouble, you know.
My very favorite, and it's the stories that I live for, and sadly they don't happen too often, is anything bad that happens to Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
That makeup mishap she had, a month or two ago. Oh, I loved that. That made me happy. That, it is sad to say, I had a spring in my step all day after seeing those pictures of her face with the white spots all over them.
I'll tell you,
it was
thing,
like, yes.
I'll tell you things that make me laugh are, here's a headline. This is one of my favorites. Guy on Survivor dies.
It was a train accident.
Uh-huh. But you were on Survivor, and you died.
There is a certain amount of irony there.
No, it's not irony. That's comedy. That's funny. It's, for one thing, I've come to loathe that show. Because they always fuck with things that are just so simply brilliant in the beginning. And then they have to fuck around with them. Because they think we're losing interest. When we're not. They start adding caveats to the deal, and people go to some fucking island but get to come back and stuff like that. So, fuck you, Survivor.
I am going to admit something. I have managed to now go, what, the last 15 years or so, I have never watched a reality TV show.
The fuck's the matter with you?
I can't do it. I can just hear America's collective intelligence being sucked down the shitter.
Who gives a shit?
I can't do it. I can't. I'm sorry.
America's collective intelligence. Who gives a fuck?
Well, it's those people that will be taking care of you and I when we are old and very, very feeble.
Yeah, but I live for shows like this. You know, I'm as hetero as it gets, but I watch the Bravo channel like crazy.
Is it the men in loincloths?
No, see, it's not like that. They disguise their gayness, you know. Pretty
behind much. Muscles.
Yeah, you know, they by doing a lot of women type, you know, Real Housewives and stuff like that. Putting a lot of beautiful soccer moms on there. Because it's a weakness of mine. I would much rather...
Beautiful soccer moms?
I would rather fuck some Orange County soccer mom than one of the world's top models. There's just something about them. They're rich little jewelry-wearing asses that I just want to bend over and give it to them Lex style.
Lex style. So you have a thing for high maintenance women.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I actually don't like drama or anything like that. But that's the beautiful thing about these girls is I just want to fuck them, Stacey. I don't want to move into their big house, you know, in the cul-de-sac. I want to be the guy that stops by and fixes their refrigerator and then rearranges their own plumbing. I want to be the guy that's
walking. I think we've got a leak here, ma'am.
I want to be the guy that's walking down the sidewalk when the husband comes home with a raised eyebrow going, "You didn't just fix something here, did you?" Yeah, I did. I fixed your marriage for another year. She's happy now. Her dishwasher works, and she just got her brains fucked up. But you have no idea. You're clueless. You're fucking your secretary, and you're rich. What difference does it make?
Yeah, I don't think that he's all that upset about that.
She's new and exciting to me. You're sick of her. It's all good.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So I love those shows. I didn't like The Real Housewives of New York much. That Bethany Frankel bitch, I don't like her. She has weird cheeks, and she's pushy.
Does that hit a little too close to home?
And that Jill's chick, well, all chicks are pushy for the most part at some point, some more than others. You know, just because you're not Stacey doesn't mean 99.9% of the rest of you bitches aren't.
Oh, I can be pushy.
There's something about me that makes women push. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I'm nice. I know I don't sound nice. I know people out there think I'm some sort of bald, tough guy or something, but I'm not. I'm a nice guy. I don't like a lot of drama. I don't like a lot of fights. If I can do something nice for somebody, I do.
Fix their plumbing.
Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you've known me for a long time. I don't like a lot of bullshit in my life. I would much rather...
You know, that reminds me, years ago at the station there on Hogan Road, my bestie Michelle and I were walking down the hall outside the studio, and you were coming in the other direction, and you walked between us, and then all three of us stopped, and we proceeded to then rub our tits all over you for a good 5 minutes, and you didn't say stop at any point.
No. Who would do that?
Well, exactly. I wouldn't do that to Rick Tracy, for instance.
Well, certainly not anymore.
Well, stop. I know that.
God rest his soul.
Yes, but back then
he would laugh at that. And here's what it would sound like. Fucking love that guy.
I loved Rick.
Yeah, Rick was cool.
Michelle and I would go in there when he was on the air, and we would just sit there, put our like chins in our hands, and say, "Tell us a story today." And he told us some of the most raunchy,
oh, I know,
god awful life experiences.
Yeah.
The man was truly a sexual god.
He had a friend of his whose name was Jane Russell. And he had a voice like this. And the two of them would tell stories. It's like, yeah, there we had this fucking maid at the house, you know. She was dressed up in her fucking maid outfit, and Jane Russell's like sticking his cock in her mouth, and I'm fucking her in the ass from behind, and we're like fucking high fiving and pouring drinks and shit. You know, so like she's like going, you know, give it to me, you fuckers. And when you were fucking giving it to her, I'm just like looking at him like.
I heard that story too.
I'm like,
he would have women come in and like clean, you know, he's like, look, here's a place to live. I will feed you. I will house you. You clean my house and I get to fuck you anytime I want. The first time you say no, you're out.
Yeah. Remember the shrunken head? What was her name? Leanne or Luann or something like that? John Leard called her the shrunken head. Because when you looked at her body, she had like this tiny little fucking mannequin head. And she had these jacked up teeth and all this, but she did fuck at will. Poor thing got way too much sun. You know, she just laid on the beach all day while Rick did his show, and then they'd go home and get shit faced, you know, and then have gross sex all night.
He was the guy that like would have truly the mother daughter tag team duo come and like service him all night long.
Oh yeah. And then finally he
and you believed him. You know he's not lying. He's not boasting.
I lived underneath him.
Oh God.
I had an apartment underneath him. Or was that before I met you? That was before
that
I met
was
you.
Before.
Yeah, I had an apartment underneath him And one night he drops this girl off, and I hear them arguing. She's like, she said something like, and he was dating this one for a while. It actually was pretty serious. And I hear them outside bickering and arguing, and all of a sudden I hear her say, "You could have had it all." And you hear the car door shut, and the car speeds off, and there's like this 15-second delay, and then you hear, "Fuck you, bitch." And then you hear him trudge up the steps, you know, and I'm like, I fucking love this guy. And all these girls used to come downstairs, you know, because they couldn't figure him out. They didn't know what was going on. So they'd come downstairs and go, "You know, Rick, what do you think it will take, you know, for him to marry me?" And I went, "You don't want to marry him. What the fuck's the matter with you?
No.
It's a fucking alcoholic and radio. God, what a fucking recipe for disaster that is. You out of your fucking mind? You know, just let him slip you the business for as long as you can handle it and then get the fuck out of Dodge. Go marry an attorney or something."
Yes.
"You don't want to marry him." It's the same advice I gave them all. And I'd tell him the next day that was my advice, and he'd just laugh. He's like, "Yeah, they want to fucking marry me. Are they crazy?" I was getting ready.
He was pretty
anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah, he was. And it's like they wanted to fire him.
And then
the
what?
Station.
There was the lesbian who. Because he cut off Stairway to Heaven.
No, because he was turning yellow.
I was there for that final meltdown with the PD.
No.
He's like, you know, he's been playing Stairway for 20 fucking years. You can't tell me that he doesn't fucking know when the song ends.
Well,
I know, I understand everything leading up to it that was not, but that was kind of the moment.
The moment, he wouldn't even have been there for that had I not gone into the general manager's office and said, you fire him, I quit. Just because you don't want to pay his fucking insurance, I have a problem with that.
Right.
You know? And at the time, you know, Lex and Terry, you know, was, well, what it is now, dominant. And I was like...
You were stars.
We were. We were fucking rock stars, man. And I told him, I said, you fire him, you're firing me. And he just, like, rolled his eyes. He went, all right, let's go check him in somewhere. Like, all right, I have to pay for this, I guess. I'm like, you know, this is a human being, okay? And, but there was some irony in comedy with his liver transplant. He was supposed
yes.
to get a new liver, and he waited in line like a good boy. And he took all the meds he was supposed to. He quit drinking. I was so proud of him. But it came time for him. The call from Rochester, Minnesota came, and everybody knew what a huge Yankee fan Rick was. And he was told it's his time. He's getting a new liver. Get on the plane. And then he got the call that said, no, wait. Wait. There's somebody in front of you.
I remember when this made national news.
Yeah. And the person that got put in front of him, biggest Yankee fan in the world, was Mickey Mantle. You should have seen the look on his face. He was like, do I want to give my hero that liver or do I want to make a stink about it?
I know.
And I went, come on, Rick, do you want to kill Mickey Mantle?
Nice.
He goes, nah, I don't want to fucking kill Mickey Mantle.
I'll take one for the team.
He goes, I can wait a few more months or weeks or whatever the fuck it is. I went, yeah, because all the great Yankees are dead now, Rick, or have new livers. So no, I don't think anything's going to fuck you over now. He's like, you're such an asshole. Ha ha! I fucking love that guy. He was awesome.
He was always very nice to Michelle and I. I know that like the kids in the promotions department were scared to death of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was always just so very nice to me and Michelle. I really adored him and loved hearing his stories.
Yeah, he used to. Remember, he used to tell everybody that he fucked their wives. You know, he's like, I hate to tell you this, I fucked your wife. I mean, how many people's wives have you fucked? I mean, it's like everybody's, right? He's like, I think so. I went, are you sure? Because you get pretty fucked up at night. And she's always in the bed next to me, so I'm. You must have caught her on a, business trip or something. But whatever, you know. It's like nothing I can do about it now. You know, we were all 20 and 21 at the time. Whatever. He was awesome.
But
anyway, enough about Rick.
Yes.
Rest in peace, our friend.
Yes.
You provided years and years of comedy. And, good day to talk about you on Bodily Function Day, because goddamn, son. If you were going to pee outside my apartment one more time, I was going to have to call the authorities. So, I'll go ahead and lead.
Okay, you do that.
I'm just out of high school. And... I'm dating a girl who goes to Florida State University. And I take her to school, and we get up there and everything, and she gets all, like, homesick and stuff. So I'm getting ready to come back after dropping.
Now, how long were you there?
This is like the weekend, you know.
Okay. So it wasn't just dropping her off and you're gone in an hour.
No, I was going to stay with her.
Okay.
But I could tell there was something wrong with her all weekend, and she was all clingy on me and everything. And it was just weird, and I was just like, look, everything's going to be fine. You know, I'm going to be out of here. You know, you're going to be, you know, hit on by unmercifully by frat boys soon enough, and, you know, you'll forget all about me in Jacksonville, and everything will be fine. All right? Good. Yeah. She's like, oh, no, I'm going to miss you so much. Well, Sunday, I go to leave. And she comes and gets in the car. And we start talking. And I'm like, you can't get in the car. You can't come home with me. You just can't. You know, you need to go to school. Your parents have paid all these bills and paid for all this, and you got your dorm. I mean, it's like you can't, you got to do this.
Yes.
And she was not getting out of the car. And she, like, locks the door, and she, like, is holding on to the door because I tried to open up the door and literally throw her out, and she was not getting out of the car. So it starts getting into, like, Sunday evening, you know, Sunday night, and I worked at Publix, and I had to work at 3 a.m. So finally I just said, fine, go home. Let's go home, you know. And you drive the car. So we couldn't turn the car off because I had this fucked up old Pontiac, and the battery was dying on it. So it's
everyone's like, had those vehicles.
Yeah. So we couldn't shut the car off. We had to keep it on, and, you know, when we gassed up everything. So finally, I'm like, God, I'm so fucking tired. You're gonna have to drive. I got to get at least a couple hours sleep before I go in and all this stuff. So we couldn't pull over or anything, and there was something else wrong with the car. It had to keep rolling. We couldn't stop. It was weird. Even when we pulled over for gas, we had to like rock the car like back and forth. I forgot what was wrong, but you know, there was no bathroom breaks, no anything. So I'm like having to go to the bathroom so fucking bad. And all of a sudden I realize we've been dating like 3 months, and she's never seen my dick.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Because we were in high school, you know. It was just, she was like this preppy chick, and, you know, it was just the way it was. It was.
No, what? Just she hadn't looked at it, or she hadn't even felt it like touch her in any way.
All we had really done is like I, you know, went down her pants a couple times and, you know, felt her up, and, you know, there was a lot of that. It was going to happen soon, but at that juncture, she hadn't seen it yet. And I have to pee, and there's this bottle of Coca-Cola in the back. You remember the glass ones, the 32-ounce glass ones?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's all that was sitting back there. So I got to stick my little pee-pee hole in this thing. And so we're going down the highway. I said, look, you can't look over here because I got to do this. And she's like, that's okay. That's fine. Well, about one third of the way into this, she hits something. She hits like a bump or something. And I fucking spray the car. I mean, it goes all over the windshield, all over her. I mean, it was like, it was some pothole or something, but it went all over the fucking place. And she was just fucking pissed. And I'm like yelling back and forth at her. I'm like, you're the one who hit the goddamn hole or whatever the fuck it was. And otherwise, this would have been, you know, and we get into this.
It was a hobo.
We get into this whole fucking argument and everything. And she says, take me back to school. Now, we're halfway home. And I got no money, you know, to get. I said, no, we got to go all the way home now. I said, I don't have enough money to take you back. She goes, I'll give you money. And so we're arguing all the way back to Florida State. And when we get to Florida State, she gets out of the car, slams it, and goes and gives me no money. So I had to drive all the way back to Jacksonville. And the last 30 miles, I'm on like fumes. And I barely made it into the parking lot of work. And I made it into work like an hour and a half late. And I got urine all over me. My car's got urine all over it. You know, I forgot all about the half-filled bottle of stuff, and it spilled all over my floorboard and the carpet.
And in the Florida heat.
And, yeah.
That starts smelling quickly.
And there it is, my first bodily function story.
Did she ever see your penis again?
Oh, yeah, I fucked her.
Okay. Yeah. High five. Yeah. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all forgiven and everything, you know, because it's me. I'm stupid.
Yes. Well, good. I'm glad that you finally got to.
Anyway, she dumped me and married some doctor. She broke my heart. She was supposed to come home one weekend. She goes, I kind of met somebody. I'm going to go to Perry, Florida with my sorority sisters. I'm kind of seeing his brother now. I'm so sorry. And I went, that's okay. I kind of expected it.
Have you ever looked her up?
Oh, yeah. I've talked to her a couple times. And, yeah, she's got like 4 kids and the same husband. And her hair's like completely fucking gray. Her hair was turning gray when she was like 25 years old.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it kind of ran in her family. You know, but
did you find it hot?
Not really.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't even know what hot was then. I was like 18, you know. It's just like, I just knew I was supposed to fuck something. I didn't really sit there and look at hot or not hot. I just like, oh, she's pretty. I would like to go to bed with her and make love.
Lex style.
And then after, you know, meeting the Rick Tracys of the world, you know, then that's when I became jaded. You know? Fuck me where the turds come out. That's what radio does to you.
Don't let your
kid get in radio if you want some squeaky clean kid, because it's not going to happen. You're going to run into a guy like that, and that's going to be it. Now, listen, Stacey, goddamn it, give me your fucking bodily function story now.
Okay. This was about 5 years ago, sadly. My cousin's wife, Kim, who is a very, very good friend of mine. It was her 40th birthday, and party at their house, lots of people, and having a very good time. Now, I don't normally get trashed. Mm-hmm. I don't. I can very capable of having a few drinks, maybe get a little warm fuzzy, and that's it. For whatever reason that night, it wasn't on purpose, but I did become very inebriated. There was a lot of vodka and a lot of creamy drinks mm-hmm. and stuff. And creamy drinks always seem to be the showstopper for me. And basically, it went from me being warm, fuzzy, and having a really good time. And the next thing I knew, I was at home laying fully dressed with like a coat on and everything on my back on like the little love seat in our living room. And another friend of mine, her boyfriend, is just leaning over looking at me. And it was like, wow, what happened last night? And apparently I went on a spectacular vomiting spree. And it wasn't, and I have to say, this was not a fighting situation. Like, everything was still very friendly and stuff. But my husband, ultimately, I ended up breaking one of my cousin's, like, lawn chairs. I ended up breaking my husband's glasses. I ended up ripping his shirt. It was in tatters. And I guess all the way home, they had taken like one of the plastic Walmart bag type things and could just basically stick it to my chin because I was just wet and gooey enough as it was. Ew. Just kind of stick it right there so that if I did hurl again, which I did not in the vehicle, but at least there was a bag there to catch it. But yes, I was horrified. You know, he had to, until he could get new glasses, had to do the tape in the middle kind of thing. He was not happy with me.
Oh, God.
But again, it was not a fighting. It's not like we were brawling or anything. I just flailed a lot, I guess, in between vomiting. And I was grabbing hold of him and stuff. And through the course of that, I broke his glasses. I broke their chair. I ripped his shirt. It wasn't pretty.
No, I don't guess it was.
And for the record, I have not been that drunk since. So
yeah, sure.
I haven't.
Well, that was only 5 years ago. I'm sure there was other episodes.
Two very nice friends of mine from home, my hometown, did drag me the 45-minute walk across Michigan State's campus in the middle of the winter once. They really had nothing to do with vomiting, but I was completely passed out.
How old were you at the time?
I'd have been 18 or 19.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time ago.
Well, someone had brought moonshine. And between the moonshine and the Don Q 151, that night went by really quick.
That's never good.
No.
All right, well, that sounds like a nice little evening. Are you one of those that, like, when you get shit-faced, you become, you know, like, kind of a bitch?
I don't think so, but honestly, you would probably be best to ask someone who knows me. As I said, the night that I list that 5 years ago, that was not a fighting thing. I guess I was very friendly and giggly through the whole thing while I was breaking glasses and chairs and ripping shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
It was just strictly flopping, flailing around.
Yeah, I would imagine you're probably a pretty good drunk, pretty fun.
I will get tired. It's like when I crash, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep the evening going when I'm not feeling it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I've told the story on the air about the golf tournament.
So, I was wondering if you were going to bring this up.
So I have one that's a close second. I'm not going to tell that one because everybody that listens to Lex and Terry knows that one for the most part. But I do have another. I'm at this girl's house, and when I moved to California, there was this girl that relentlessly asked me out. And her dad was like a very, very filthy rich something. I don't know what, but I mean, their house was just unfucking believable. I mean, it really was. It was just, you know, on the cliffs of Malibu, you know, overlooking nice. The ocean. And, you know, they had like real lions on the property.
Well, you know, you don't.
Yeah. I mean, like real lions, like.
So he was a head of a drug cartel.
I don't know what he was. I think it was. I think it had something to do with cars.
Makes sense.
Like a big auto group or something. And he had numerous investments or whatever, but he, anytime I went by the house, which was like five times, he was always on the phone. And he had this like control center type office that had computer monitors and TVs all over the place. We're talking like 89, 90. So it has the big thick TVs, but they're built where they're recessed into the wall, you know, so it looks like it would today with flat screens.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was badass. And anyway, he throws this big party. And she invites me. And they're serving all kinds of everything from hot dogs and hamburgers to steaks to lobster to shrimp. I mean, open bar, you know, and you're like out there drinking these amazing fucking disco drinks. And at the same time, you know, you're hearing lions roar in the distance. And I mean, it was just fucking California rock star, you know, and she had her little fucking hot pants on and she just fucking adored me. And it was just great. Just greatness.
Now, why did you not adore her?
I did, I guess. But I had just gotten out of a relationship with the woman I ultimately married. Ah. And I was just not in the mood to be in a relationship. But, you know, this girl really wanted to be in one. But she also was letting me have sex with her, so I wasn't in a big hurry to do that. But it was just a great situation, and her dad was just filthy fucking rich, which just added to the pressure, you know, because it's like I can barely make my car payment and my rent and everything. And you know, I'm driving a piece of shit car that, you know, I don't even think the gates would open for me. You know, I thought it would like scan my car and go, it's too shitty, well, you can't let this guy in. You know, not unless he's going to fix something or cut a lawn or something. You know, so they have all these people at the house. And I recognized a couple of them. Like, I think Jack Wagner was there.
Nice.
I'm still to this day not sure if it was him or not, but I think it was. And, you know, and I got a what's up from Jack Wagner. He's like, hey, what's up? I went.
Did you say all I need?
I went, hey, what's up with you? And he goes, not much, man. Good to see you. I went, yeah, good to see you too, Jack Wagner, I think. So all of a sudden, my stomach starts gurgling.
Oh.
And I go up to her and I say, hey, I got to use the bathroom. She goes, so use it. I went, I need one that's kind of off out of the main thing. This is bad. She laughs. She goes, oh, it can't be that bad. Just go use the bathroom. I'm like, okay.
You're like, no, for the love of God, woman, it's going to be that bad.
No, she seemed okay with it, so I went, okay. So I go in there, and it's like, it's one of those ones where I barely got my pants down.
Because your ass knows somehow the closer you get to the toilet, the worse it gets.
And I just let it go, and I hear this noise that's not water.
Oh.
But I hear this noise that is water, and I realize before I even turn around that I missed the mark, and I'm going to have a little bit of a mess to clean up. Well, I turn around, and there's a significant amount of this jelly-like brown, and the only thing in there are monogrammed white towels. Not just monogram white towels, but fluffy. Thick.
Towels that cost more than your vehicle.
Yeah, with strings on them and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I know I'm in trouble. So I grab the toilet paper and I start trying to clean up. And the, like, stuff's getting in the grout.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And the smell was even making me sick, let alone somebody else. So I'm bending down, cleaning up, and some more squirts out of me.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. God.
And it's all over the rug. You know, once again, the furriest, thickest, most beautiful rug you've ever seen. And
you know what you should have done at that point? Use the rug to clean everything else up, roll it up, throw it in the bathtub, shut the curtain, and you're done. And then you go, I don't know.
No. And that would have been smart. Instead, I go, Elaine! And she comes to the door and she goes, what is it? Oh. I said, I missed the toilet some. And, you know, there's nothing but monogram towels in here with strings hanging from them. And I can't wipe up with those. And I need you to go get me some. She goes, we don't have anything but that, you know. And she goes, just use those. I went, no, I can't use those. I got your fucking letters on them. I said, go find.
They're fancy.
I said, go find me some fucking towels without letters on them, please. So, like, 5 minutes goes by, 10 minutes. People knocking on the door wanting to use the restroom. I'm like, I'm busy. Anyway, she brings in, like, a trash bag. She brings in towels. I get it all cleaned up. You know, she brought me in some, like, Fantastic or Windex. I get the place all cleaned up, but now I got to do the walk of shame through all these people with a bag full of shitty smelling towels and a bottle of Fantastic in my hand. And I just went out and threw them in the garbage, and I said, I gotta go, I don't feel so good. And I never saw her again.
Did she try contacting you and you just blew her off, or was it a mutual thing?
It was just a mutual thing. It was just like she, you know, and then finally I talked to her like months later and she goes, I couldn't get past that. And I went, yeah, I know. It's okay. She goes, so are we still friends? I went, oh yeah, yeah, by all means.
Yeah. He can come shit all over my bathroom anytime.
And she goes, if it makes you feel any better, I met a guy and the same thing happened to him. It just wasn't as bad and with a lot of people around. I went, that does make me feel better. She goes, I wonder if it's me. I wonder if I, you know, like make guys, you know, there's something about me that makes guys crap. I went, no, I think it's the fancy food at your parents' parties. Yeah, I think.
The really rich, thick, very, very buttery.
I said, because these stray dogs you're bringing home, like me, we're used to eating like Carl's Jr. and stuff, not, you know, not this fancy
lobster.
Yeah, not lobster and shrimp and, you know, Kobe beef that's, you know, $900 a bite and stuff like that. You know, we're not used to that.
No.
I think our system just went, I can't handle that. All right, so that's my second one. Next.
Years ago, a friend took me to Cancun, And I went and had a good time. We spent several days there. And I was very diligent in the whole not using any of their ice or drinking any of their water
thing. That's a whole thing, isn't it?
Yes.
I've never been, but I hear it is.
And, excuse me, things went well. You know, we went and saw Mayan ruins. We floated down an underground river. Everything was great. And the morning that we were leaving, I had breakfast. And apparently, somewhere on the fruit, which I wasn't thinking that fresh fruit's probably been washed off with the water, I got some of the water in me. And we flew first to Miami International Airport and then, you know, flew up to Detroit. And it was in the air on the way to Miami that I realized that something was terribly, terribly wrong. And I'm thinking, I cannot do this in an airplane, in the bathroom or whatever, because there will be smells, there will be noises, there will be things. And you, seriously, I just have to commend my sphincter, basically, for cooperating with me. And I'm telling my friend, you know, it's the guy. I'm like, you know, this is emergency level type stuff. You don't understand. And so we land, you know, I don't remember any issues getting off the plane or anything, but it was like, oh my God. And ultimately, I did not shit myself. Ultimately, it was as though God took pity on me. Near where we were going to have to wait for our next flight anyway, they had, for whatever reason, a whole terminal that was, it wasn't closed. It wasn't like there was tape or anything saying, do not enter. It was like they just turned lights off and there was nothing going on over there. And so I looked around and I walked quickly and very tightly with the ass cheeks and found a bathroom. I turned the lights on and I went in and I was able to freely and wonderfully shit my brains out for the 45 minutes to an hour that we were laid over there, and no one ever came in. I'm sure I got to shit with the freedom of knowing that there wasn't a crowd of people outside. No one came in. When I was done, I just turned the lights off and left, and I apparently got it all out of my system because the flight then from Miami up to Detroit was fantastic. I think I might have even slept.
There is nothing better than knowing that you have escaped that and it's over.
Yes.
And you've like crapped yourself all over the place and you've taken your 4 or 5 Imodium and you know the real nightmare is over and you can just chill.
Yes, you can sneeze without any repercussions.
Yeah, you can just, you know, you know you're not going to have to deal with that for months and months and months till it happens again. You know, it's just amazing.
Oh, it was agony on the way there, but it ultimately I had a very happy ending with that because, I mean, I would have, you know, if there was a bathroom and it was filled with people, I would have been horrifying a whole segment of the people in that airport because the sounds and smells and stuff would have been horrifying. I would have waited until the people that were in the bathroom I knew were long gone before I came out.
Oh, yeah.
One of those, you know, but no, there was no one. There was no one in that terminal. The lights were off. I turned the lights on the bathroom back off when I left again. It was fantastic. Absolutely amazing.
See, that's nice. That's nice. It's great when it works out.
Yes.
Unfortunately, my 3 stories, it doesn't work out. These are all stories that have bad endings.
I'm so sorry.
And if you've noticed, 2 of them have been relationship enders. You'll be happy to know that the 3rd one isn't.
Good.
It just, I couldn't go over to my friend's parents' house anymore after this one. So, you know how everybody has that liquor, that drink, that, you know, you've gotten sick on it once and you can't ever have it again the rest of your life?
Whiskey.
Yeah, mine is slow gin. And we went out and had these slow gin fizzes. and we, the drinking age at the time was 18. So we had graduated, and we went out to some skanky-ass bar in Jacksonville, and I proceeded to have, like, 15 of these things. And I pretty much had it together when we, you know, were done, and my friend wasn't drinking, and me and my other friend were just S-faced. And... He goes, listen, we're, and it was like a Friday night, so we were spending the night at the one guy's house in the basement. We were gonna, you know, cook food and watch TV and just, you know, hang out, you know. And then the next morning we were gonna go play basketball or play golf or something. And we were gonna, you know, it was just like a guy weekend type of thing. And we get back to his house, and it's like 1 a.m. And his mom's up in her robe. And she's in the kitchen. And she says, do you want me to make you boys something to eat? And as soon as she said that, I threw up all over her. I don't think I missed an inch of clothing. From the neck down, that poor woman was drenched in slow gin.
Gross.
Yeah.
The smell.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, and she was in such disbelief, she stood there for round two. Because I saw what I did to her, and I was just, like, paralyzed, you know, and she definitely was paralyzed. And then all of a sudden, I just went, bleh! And then, like, a whole other round came down on her. God. And she goes, oh, for God's sakes, Lex. She goes, you can't handle your liquor better than that? She goes, my goodness.
That was very sweet of her.
She was sweet as pie, you know, and she was totally cool with the fact, you know, we had a designated driver. So, you know, she didn't care that me and her son got wrecked. But he had, like, half what I had. I was the idiot. I was the one just like, come on, you pussies.
You had something to prove.
Yeah, I did, you know, to myself and others. And, yeah, I tossed twice on her, just blah, blah. And she had the classic statement of, you know, just was totally cool with it. She goes, let me go change my clothes and I'll clean all this up. She threw everything in the washing machine and got me some clothes to wear and tucked me in.
In that Southern lady voice.
In that Southern lady voice. She's still alive.
Uh-huh.
She and her husband both are still alive. They just had their 50th wedding anniversary, and uh-huh. And she still looks like a million bucks. You know, still has that voice. I talked to her on the phone. You know, of course, I, you know, told her about my whirlwind divorce and everything. She goes, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry."
Uh-huh.
You know, all this stuff, and I'm like, "No, it's better this way. It's okay." Yeah, she goes, well, we've been married 50 years. And I'm like, you're a statistical anomaly. Just so you know. She goes, I know. She goes, no offense, but nobody takes marriage seriously anymore. And I went, oh, believe me, I took it seriously. In the ass.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. Yeah. Like serious financial wreckage. But that's okay.
The birds. My grandma and grandpa celebrated their 50th.
Yeah, they're about the same age, I think. Like pushing, you know, late 80s, 90, somewhere around there.
All of my grandparents are over 100. They're dead, of course.
Mine too.
But my dad had three brothers, and all three of them also celebrated their 50th.
That's cool. That's good. That means you probably don't have some heart attack or cancer gene. That's awesome.
Well, I do because my dad died at 50 of cancer. So thanks, Lex. Oh.
Did you take that BRCA test or whatever the hell it is?
No, I plan on keeping my tits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if your tits
not Angelina.
What if your tits start rotting?
Well, then they will go.
Yeah. Okay, then.
I'm probably not going to remove body parts.
Yeah.
Until they become deadly.
Yeah, I just would pretty much blow my head off or something if I was just riddled with cancer. There's no reason to stick around and put my family through that.
Definitely let them know first.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, actually, for them to get the life insurance, I'd have to rot away. I can't kill myself.
Which I think is just horseshit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you should be able to, put yourself out of your misery.
Yes.
But that's just me.
Oh, it's not just you. I agree. Yes.
Yeah. So there it is, Stacey. We did it once again.
Yes.
We have done a phenomenal job of letting everybody know
that Lex poops.
Yeah.
A lot.
No, just once.
True.
Yeah.
Well, question. When you said about the golf thing, was it the one where your ass is hanging off the edge of the thing, or was it in the bathroom where people are standing up and looking at you over the edge of the stall?
That was Terry.
Oh, okay.
That was Terry that got where the guy went, "Hey, you're Terry. We're Lex and Terry." While he's like shitting all over the place.
Okay, I thought that was you.
No, mine was on the golf course where I was hanging off a tree on the side of the cliff at TPC Sawgrass, and I got just shit falling out of me. I got my pants down, and I'm hanging on this tree, and Terry and I are laughing our ass off. And I look down, and there's a house with smoke billowing out of the chimney, and there's like this kid looking out the window of me just dropping turds all over the place. It wasn't even turds. It was like a shit waterfall.
It's just like running down their hill towards their house.
It was. Just like avalanche.
I think Terry described it because like your head is just poking over the grass.
Yeah. All you could see is my eyes, and we were laughing. And then I wipe my ass with one of the golf towels, and he goes to the cart bitch. He goes, "Hey, we lost our towel. Will you go get it?"
That's kind of mean.
I said, "I'll give you $20 not to." He goes, "I'll give you $20 too." I said, "I'll give you $20 more not to." What a dick.
I remember that story.
Yeah. Don't we all?
That moment where you're like, "I'm home, I'm doing it, yes, I did no bad stuff," and you turn around, and there's just houses as far as you can see, all looking at your ass squirting shit all over someone's yard.
Pretty much, pretty much. But I'd like to thank Drew Hillis, Mike Young, everybody at Digital Brand Connections, DBC, for the opportunity for the Threesome Podcast. Remember to listen to everybody else's show, the Ian Gleason Show, the Sarah B Show, the Terry James Alive Show, Under the Shade Tree with D, the Potluck Show, everything we got going on. Of course, the Legend Cast. Yeah, all that stuff. So LT2. It's going strong. Hope you're enjoying it. And if you haven't
done, visit our website, threesomepodcast.com.
That's right. And on Twitter, Stacey, we are what?
Threesome Podcast.
That's right. And
you can also visit Lex's penis.
Anytime you want. And it's at Lex's penis.
Yes. Yeah. Did you look at it? Did you see the avatar I chose for it?
No. I want nothing to do with it.
Oh, it's connected to you.
That's your thing. That's your little thing to have fun with.
You have a cheeky penis.
I'm way too grown up for that.
Oh, whatever. I said I did it. I was nice and didn't take the last 2 minutes. So it's not Lex Staley's penis. It's just Lex's penis.
Yeah.
Now on Twitter.
But thanks for telling everybody my last name now.
Well, because it's not on the logo and everything. You made me use my last name.
I want to thank Rivethead for giving us our theme song, too.
Yes, thank you. Very cool.
Simply titled Lex and Stacey's Threesome.
It's their opus.
Yeah, it
is. It's their stairway.
It is. It's a good band. So, we are out of here. Goodbye, everybody.
Toodles.
And it's a wrap.
Yay.
All right, hold on.